This morning's second public reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 12 to verse 24. 2 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to pick up with verse 12. Remember, last week David is anointed king only over the tribe of Judah, while the other 10 northern tribes, even at this point, you can sense there was always this undertow of this division. And that division becomes very pronounced when Solomon's son Rehoboam blows it with the advice that he's given by the younger generation. And that's when you have that permanent split. 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes. But even here, you can see this undertow, this division that's probably brewing. And so we have a usurper on the throne, and then we have David, who's anointed, and he's going to be over that one tribe for about 7 years and some months. And then finally, he'll be the king over everything, and that reign is about 33 years. So he reigns a total of 40 years. Abner, the son of Ner, the servant and the servants of Ishbosheth, so this is the usurper, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, and one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. So what do we find? We find these two kings, one anointed David, the other one is this usurper, the son of Saul, one of his, probably his last remaining boy. And these two factions come together at this location. Now Abner, verse 14, is the usurper's general. Joab is David's general in charge of the army. So you have these two leaders of each army. Abner sent to Joab, "Let the young man now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over a number, 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. So now we have 12 men from these two respective camps. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together, whereof the place was called Helkath Zuzimram, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. So apparently these two sides get together, and apparently there was this secretness. This would be a good time to do a little killing. And so these two 12 men, representing each of the groups, engage in battle. And David's side wins. Okay, verse 18. And there were 3 sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Ashbashai, and Asael. And Asael was a light of foot as a wild roe. This guy could run like lightning. And as Asael pursued after Abner, so Abner, the general, was on the run. When things got bad, this guy fled. And in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left, following after Abner. Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asael?" And he answered, "I am." Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to the left. Lay thee not hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Asael would not turn aside from following him. So Abner tries to distract this guy who's chasing him, who can run just like a gazelle. He's trying to distract him. And this guy was dead set and still running after Abner. Abner said again to Asael, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother?" So the guy chasing this guy is a brother to David's general. "Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder part of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him right through. And he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill Ammah, and lieth before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon." Well, please be seated, and may God choose to bless His Word. Most people will read a story like this, even some very sincere Christians, and unfortunately, due to a lack of knowledge about what is the message of the Bible. Okay, how do these 66 books all fit together into one book? And what is the overarching message? And when I read something like this, why do I need to be told this? Why do I need to be told about David getting off in not a smooth transition into his kingship? Remember, before David was anointed on this occasion, he was anointed by the prophet Samuel already. So that was David's second anointing. Okay? Samuel anointed him when David and his David's servant was trying to find David's livestock that was lost, and they ended up going to Samuel, who was the prophet, to find out whether he can tell them where his daddy's livestock had kind of wandered away. And so Samuel has already anointed David. Saul, that's why Saul was all the more determined to kill David, so that the kingship would eventually go to Jonathan. But that's beside the point. So what does this show us? Well, first off, this particular reading, number one, shows how evil people can be. Now, I'm pretty confident that when these two sides, these two factions, David on one side, Ishbosheth on the other side, you got Joab here and you got Abner here, when they came together, I don't know whether both sides knew they were going to get into a tussle. Were they coming together to somehow come to some type of peaceful arrangement over this kingdom? You know, were they going to settle it? Okay, David, you got your little slice of the pie, but this guy, this son of Saul, rightfully, the throne should go to him, right? From king to king's son, okay? Maybe you're the usurper, David, and not this guy. They get together, and so you notice it says, hey, how about we get a couple of guys to play? And so, I don't know, were they going to do a little wrestling match? Were they going to do some hopscotch? What, were they going to play a board game? I don't know. But when these 12 men came to where this play was to go on, whatever type of activity they were mentioning, swords came out and bloodshed. The cruelty of people, the cruelty. And when that happened, everybody on both sides realized we got insurrection now to the point of bloodshed. And so Abner flies off. He runs for the hills. He doesn't even stay with the king that he's put up as the rightful king. And so now we have this great chase going on. And then this young kid who can run like a gazelle comes to his death. Abner kills him, puts a spear not only into his body, but it comes out the other end, like a shish kebab. And then people would pass by and they would see this dead body of this young kid that was running, hopefully, to kill Abner, but in turn, Abner kills him. This also shows us that when it comes to government, any type of government rule, there's always going to be intrigue. There's always going to be bloodshed. There's always going to be a president or a prime minister, a king or a queen, who's going to march an army of the cream of their generation, the cream of the crop of young people, and march them off into a jungle or march them off into a desert and simply be mowed down. You may not know this, but when World War I broke out in 1914, and Britain finally got into the war, and they needed more soldiers, so they had a draft. Britain's army was very small in 1914 because Britain's power was not in a land army, it was in its navy. At one time, the sun would never set on any piece of the British Empire. It would always be rising and setting on one piece of the British Empire globally. So they didn't need a large standing army. They had a large standing navy that circled the globe in order to maintain these parts of their kingdom. So they had this draft. First, they went to volunteers, and they had tens of thousands of young men, 16, 17, 18, lying about their age, getting into the army, going off into boot camp, and then going off to France. What most people don't realize is many of the little cities all across the British Empire, you would have hundreds of young men, late teens, early 20s, barely making a living. And they would live and die in that village. When the war broke out, they saw this as what? Adventure. I'm going to get away from home and see the world. They were called PAL battalions, where you would have all the young men. Think of your little city, Auburn. Think of all the men, 16, 17, 18, all joining the army and being shipped. And they would ship all these guys back then in 1914. They would ship them to one location on the Western Front. And when they would go over the top, the Germans cut them like grass. You had whole villages back in England where the entire age group of 16, 17, 18, early 20s, every man in that village was killed. All you had was moms, dads, grandparents, young women, and no eligible men to marry. All across England. You had cities with the youngest part of their generation literally wiped off the globe because of the idiotic generals who told these guys, just go over the top and run. And with the German machine guns on angles, they cut them down like you would take those instruments years ago and just cut the grass. Whole cities depopulated of male population by 1918 in the millions. It just shows you how foolish and at times how bloodthirsty people can be. And yet Jesus came to even address the carnage of such men. Way back yonder, even today, and as long as we have countries who want the other country's products, we're going to have constant conflict and men and women, unfortunately, going off to battle and coming back in a body bag. Well, may God have mercy, as Brother Jim prayed for our nation. Senseless wars, senseless loss of life, for what? And when these British guys would go over the top, that entire Western Front ran for 500 miles from the North Sea, the coast of Belgium, all the way down to the border of Switzerland and Germany. You had a 500-mile trench that you can still see from the air today as it zigzagged across 500 miles. You got bodies in farmers' fields today underneath over the period of time. Bones and flesh, even bombs that never exploded, are still found today out there in farmers' fields. Well, may God have mercy over the stupidity of our leaders when they send men and women to die for no real good reason. Well, may God choose to bless His word. Amen.